Hello, please bear with us as we go live on all of our platforms because we meet you where you are. Go and we are live. Hello and welcome to Amplify with Purpose, the podcast where we explore what it takes to live well and lead with purpose. We discuss everything from nuanced business strategies to transformative leadership and personal development. In every episode, you'll find heartfelt discussions and practical tips designed to help you live your best life. My mission is to help you live a life on purpose and amplify your impact. If you're looking to amplify your career, maybe enrich, just find a little bit of inspiration, you are in the right place. I have the absolute pleasure of joining me today, Dr. Yanine Dukabu. Dr. Yanine is the Managing Director, Chief Executive Officer, Serial Entrepreneur of JDC Exec Group of Companies, which hosts a whole bunch of stuff from water to websites to online learning to social media. Recently, some really cool stuff that I'm not privy to share, but I'm so excited. She's also the author of Intentional, How to Live Life Intentionally, as well as recently, It Is Finished. Dr. Yanine, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Odette. It's always so great to be here. I'm excited about today and the topic that's going to change the course of so many businesses.
I really believe that it will. And for those of you wondering about what we're talking about today, we are talking about customer experience. And I've asked Dr. Yanine if she could give me a couple of questions around CX and what it is that comes up for people. So this will be a very, very in-your-face conversation, but I feel it's important. So Dr. J, over to you.
So, Deb, I want to just kick off with the first question to see that you've seen the evolution of CX over the years. I mean, you've been in the industry for more than a decade. So what are some of the most significant changes that you've observed from then to now? And then how can businesses stay ahead of the curve?
That's an excellent question. There has definitely been significant changes in customer experience. So when we talk about CX, we talk about customer experience. And there's been a shift from focusing solely on transactional interactions to creating deeper, more meaningful relationships with customers. So in the past, businesses were primarily concerned with meeting customer expectations and making sure that the product or the service worked well and is delivered on time. But to really understand where we are now, I feel like we have to go back and just dive a little bit deeper. CX is a new term, but it has actually been around for a really, really long time. The concept of customer experience started in the 1960s and 70s, and that was just the rise of a service economy. People weren't laboring anymore. They were now providing services, professional services. And initially, the focus was just customer satisfaction. Are you happy? Was the question. Was it good quality? That's the time where total quality management came into play. On time and on quality. The idea was simple, deliver what the customer expected, and then they'd be satisfied. In the 1980s and 1990s, as competition started to increase globally, companies started realizing that satisfaction just wasn't enough, and they started to focus on customer service. So you'll note that often when we speak about customer experience and the people who have been around for a while will say, oh, yes, I do customer service. Not quite the same thing, but that's where the term came from. It started with the emphasis on interactions between employees and customers. That's when people realized that when you walk into a shop and the person standing behind the till is grumpy, then perhaps that might make you feel a certain way. The famous phrase, the customer is always right, also became the guiding principle back then. And things like Nortz and became synonymous with excellent customer service by setting new customer service standards and the way we should treat our customers. By the way, Ritz-Carlton is still known as one of the best customer experience brands globally. So let's fast forward to the year 2000, and the 2000 marked the significant turning point with digital technologies and the internet. And now suddenly people were buying stuff online, which was the rise of e-commerce. And we found companies like Amazon. Amazon, for better or for worse, has redefined customer experience for most organizations. Click, click, ding, dong. And we are all now expecting online shopping to be like shopping at Amazon. This period also introduced the concept of omni-channel experiences. So omni-channel, for those of you who don't know, means it doesn't matter where I interact with you. I expect you to know that I spoke to you on Facebook and I dropped you an email. And this is what I said on email. That's what I said on Facebook. And when I now phone you, the person who speaks to me on the phone should know that I dropped you a like on Facebook, should know I sent you an email about this thing. And therefore, we just pick up the conversation where we left off. That's what omni-channel experiences are all about. It's about seamless customer journeys, regardless of the touch point. Yes, we had COVID in 2019, but then in 2020, customer experience evolved a little bit further. And we've now moved beyond satisfaction and service. And we are now looking at the holistic approach. So you would have heard me say multiple times that customer experience is a feeling. And this is really where people started understanding that it's not just about product or service, it's about the feeling. Trends in this area, I don't know if anyone has read my article this week, but if you didn't, I suggest that you go check it out on LinkedIn. However, Disney was in the New York Times this week, but not for a good reason. For those of you who haven't read the article, I strongly suggest that you read it so that you understand how far we've come in customer experience and how you can never, despite being a brand synonymous with magical experiences, Disney has faced a drop in revenue and criticism from their loyal customers. So you're going, okay, so what's the problem? The problem is perceived value and increased friction. By making previously free services paid and introducing complex technology, hello, shiny, it's become cumbersome to go to Disney. And their loyal fans who used to buy annual passes are now thinking twice before going back there. Now, this is for the people who go there all the time, customer lifetime value, right? So the situation underscores how even the most iconic brands can make a misstep and lose sight of customers' evolving needs. So to stay ahead of the curve, we need to be proactive in understanding our customers. I've said it multiple times. You have to understand who you are connecting with. And you have to actually connect with them. If you think about your best friend, when you have a conversation with your best friend, you're not just saying words at them, you're conversing. And in that conversation, you feel the empathy, you feel what they're going through, and you celebrate with them. And the way that we create these amazing experiences is by treating our customers as our friends, you know, connecting with them. So really, it's come down to personalizing in a way that is personal. Why do I say that? Because everyone thinks personalization means using your name in an email. And I have to say, no, that's not all it is. So in that very long-winded way, that's how you stay ahead of the curve. It's by connecting with your customer and really personalizing your experience with them.
Two words stand out for me there, Det, is connect and emotional, or emotions the whole time. And I think even if when we speak about brand and how branding and marketing has evolved, all these things are evolving, right? And you spoke about relationship and relationship with a friend. Now, I don't know why people think like this, that they think that your relationship with your friend can evolve, but your relationship with your customers stay stuck in one place. Both of them are evolving. Both of us are growing. Both of us are changing the way we like things done. It's not a problem. I've just seen through building a buyer persona in one place, using it to start off, I'm going to start my marketing campaign, and then actually using the data from website, from social media, then I start to see that my buyer persona has changed. The people has changed. Also, the way they like things has changed. So connection, you have to keep absolutely, and emotion plays such a big role. So how do you believe that emotional connections play this role when we are transitioning our customers from being satisfied to becoming loyal? Because with that connection that we are building, we are transitioning from just being a customer that's there to really becoming that loyal, or like I say, brand advocates.
Absolutely. So emotional connections are, I think, the glue, the sticky stuff that keeps it all together and that creates the loyal advocate. So in my book, From Heart to Bottom Line, I emphasize the importance of connecting with our customer on a deeper level. It's about going beyond meeting a need. If you think about bread, bread meets a need. Like, you have something to eat. Is it wow? No. Are you stuck on a specific brand? Probably not, unless you're gluten intolerant or you want a specific fruit type of brand. So do you want to be the bread that meets a need and that's interchangeable? Or do you want to be part of someone's journey? Do you want to partner with your customers? And I think that's the difference between CX 20 years ago and CX now. There's a tipping point where we are now seeing that customers have their emotions that are evoked. They buy because of an emotional decision. They buy because of values. Customers would say things like, I support this brand because they align with my values. Why? Because we can buy from anyone. The global market has made it possible for you to buy anything from anywhere in the world. Now you get to choose. Well, if that brand value doesn't suit my hairstyle, I'm going to go to a brand that does. And I've said it before, customer experience is a feeling. The way your customers feel about your brand determines what they will do next. So that the science behind it is the way that I feel influences how I think, which influences what I do. So if your customers feel good about the purchase, they feel good about your brand, they think positively, which means they're more likely to buy. So give you the credit card or walk into your store and buy stuff. So it's really about becoming part of their lives. And that connection is what differentiates a good experience from a memorable experience. A good experience is like a cup of tea. Nobody talks about a cup of tea. An exceptional experience or a memorable experience is like a cup of coffee where you go, man, I need my coffee, right? So that's what we need to bear in mind. And when it comes to creating a passionate brand advocate, we have to understand that we have to go the extra mile to personalize interactions. It's not just putting their name in an email. And you've said it so well, Dr. J, you have to use the data. So there is data drops everywhere. There's crumbs everywhere around us. Now we could hoard all the data together and say, oh, look at all this information because someone said big data is a good thing. Or we could say, okay, let's look at the information and what does it tell us? It tells us, like you've experienced, that your customer is different. What they need is different, and how they interact with your brand is different, because our needs are changing all the time. And our expectations are being created by other brands. In the past, it used to be that a marketing company's expectations are set by other marketing companies. So if one marketing company does this thing, the customer expects all marketing companies to do this thing. It's not like that anymore. The marketing company that sells something is now being compared to Amazon, is now being compared to Disney, is now being compared to Tony Robbins. All of these things are influencing what your customer is expecting. And it's up to us to understand what are those things that they expect, and then to build around that. But you do that by using the technology and by using the data to say, okay, how do I use this information to craft and design a memorable experience that is still human? You said it before, and we talk about it in the summit. The future is human. Yes, technology. Yes, AI. And human. How do we pull all of this together? How do we integrate it so that we connect with the person? And the brands that successfully create these memorable experiences through emotional connections are the ones that see the loyalty. Because again, do you sell great and you're just like, meh? Or are you partnering with them? When you go beyond meeting expectations, when you create that personal connection with your clients or your customers, it's like you are going on a journey with them. You partner with them. When I speak to my clients, I talk about partnering with them because it's a partnership. It's not a sale. It's not a service. We work together to create the partnership, and that partnership is only possible when we have deep, meaningful connections. It's also important that we recognize that when we partner with our customers and our customers love us and they connect with us, then we can expect our customers to stick around through the tough times. We can expect them to pay a premium. And I say that, and you know, you can command a premium for your service because your customers are loyal because they support you. Now, this is not the place where you go, oh, I'm going to raise my prices. There has to be a value exchange, because customer experience is a value exchange as well. It's about creating that memorable moment. So really, emotional connections are the bridge between satisfaction and advocacy. And yes, we want brand advocates, and yes, we want loyal customers, but it's important for us to first connect with the heart of our customers. And when we connect with our customers on a human level, you not only secure loyalty, but you create passionate brand ambassadors. And the reason why it's important to have a passionate brand ambassador is because if you've ever met someone who's passionate about something or a business, you will notice that they will take every single opportunity to tell the world about your product and your service. So passionate brand advocates go and advertise for you. Now, suddenly, it's so much easier. So that in turn drives a sustainable business, and it drives a long-term success for your business.
Thanks, Odette. I almost lost you there by the touch point. So what I wanted to ask next was on customer touch points, and something that you mentioned a lot was the memorable experiences. I know something you say very often is it's not okay to just do customer service anymore. It needs to be a memorable experience. So if we look at customer touch points, they are crucial for those memorable experiences. Share with us some examples of how business can now optimize these touch points to create those memorable experiences and literally exceed the expectations.
I think I love Disney, right? I'm a Disney fan. I'm all about the magic that they've created in my childhood with their cool movies. However, I think they are a perfect example. So before I talk to you about optimizing the touch points, I want you to understand how important touch points are. So what Disney has done is they've tried to use the shiny AI and the tools and tech that's available to optimize the process. And the people who need to use the tech are saying it's clunky, it's cumbersome, it's difficult, it's expensive. I don't understand it. It's now so much harder to navigate the parks, right? So the touch point that Disney has introduced has caused friction, which causes a frustration emotionally for the customers. And now they're going, actually, you know what, I'd rather not do this. It comes back to customer experience is a feeling, and we have to make it easy. So you have to think about what is it that you ask your customers to do. Your touch points are the moments where your customer interacts with your organization. Those touch points could be your website. If your website is slow and actually choose not to use your website. If they phone you and they're on hold, like, I don't know, I think the last time I was in South Africa, I must have phoned Vodacom, and you hold forever. That is a terrible experience. That's a touch point. If I walk into a store and your employees treat me nonchalantly, they don't even acknowledge my existence, then I will walk out. That is a touch point. So it's not that I've touched your product, but I've interacted with your brand. So that's what touch points are. Now, why touch points are important is because every touch point has a certain moment in it that becomes a moment of truth. Now, you have to, for your brand, understand what is the moment of truth. For those of you who don't know, I spent many years in financial services, and 10 of those I spent in insurance specifically. So in insurance, the moment of truth is when you claim. It's not when you buy the insurance policy. It's not when you ask them to update your data. It's when you put in a claim. That is your moment of truth. And that moment determines whether or not you will stay with that company after you've made your claim. So for your organization, you have to determine what is the moment of truth for them. Because yes, there are multiple touch points along the way, but it's the moment of truth that has the biggest impact. And customer experience is a collection of all of them. If I can honestly say that every touch point I have with your brand has been positive and has left me feeling taken care of, but I get to the moments of truth and I feel like you've dropped me or you have left me on my own, then I will still leave. However, if I feel like your other touch points have been iffy, but the moment of truth has been, I feel like I'm taken care of, I will stick with you. Because for me, that's the most important touch point. So we have to, as organizations, understand which are the most important touch points in our business. And then when we understand what they are, we have to go and find ways to make it easy. The easiest way to make it easy is to do what you tell your customers to do. So if you tell your customer to place an order via a website, go into the website and try and do it yourself. How many times did you have to click the same button? How many times did you have to recapture the same information? If you tell them to phone in an order, how many times does a customer have to repeat themselves? That was a question. I already told you, why do I have to do my name again? I'm still okay. I haven't changed. Why are you asking? Those things create frustration. So you have to think about the touch points as the moments that your customer interacts with your brand. And big organizations will go and do user acceptance testing. So user acceptance testing is when your employees go and test the website and your employees test the back-end processes. I don't see many businesses do customer experience testing. And actually, that's what you should be doing. It's one thing for your tech to work in the background. It's a different thing for your customer to go and click, 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 click. Oh, I have to capture my details again. Are you joking? You don't take this, it doesn't autofill, or whatever the case is. So it's not enough to just say, I'm going to map the documents, map my journey. I agree that's important. And I do believe that every business should have a journey map. It has to stay alive. And then before you go live with any of your changes, you go and test it. Now, how do you do it? If you are like Janine and she's a prolific entrepreneur, she can't do it herself because her employees know who they are, who she is. And it just wouldn't work. They would make sure that everything runs smoothly because the boss is looking. So you get a mystery shopper. I'm a mystery shopper. That's part of what I do. I come and shop as a customer in your organization to see what the real process is, to understand what the experience is. And through the mystery shopping experience, you will identify the things that work, the things that don't work, and things that may work but just doesn't feel right. And then based on that, you will go back and fix it before you submit your poor customers to this new process that you've got. Now, the reason you should do that is because most customers, in fact, 56% of customers say that if they have been with a brand for a long time, they could forgive them every now and then. You know, if there was a mishap, only if the brands have a good experience as a whole. 17% of customers will leave a brand after one negative experience. Now you're going, 17% of my customers, it doesn't matter. It actually does. Because your loyal customers, represent customer lifetime value. So let's say, for example, your loyal customers over a period of time equals $100,000 per person, right? And you have 10 of those customers, let's say 20 of those customers, right? So let's say of those 20 that pay $100,000 per person in their lifetime, they're all happy. Now you get another 17 customers and they all have one negative experience. That's $100,000 times 17 that leave your organization that you didn't see,
huge,
that you didn't have an opportunity to get. So yes, it does take time to go and create the experience. Yes, it takes time for someone to walk the process. But the question is, can you afford not to do it? Can you afford to lose your most valuable client?
And it's much more expensive to get new clients than just to retain the ones that is already there. So you're going to save at the end of the day by just retaining the customers that is already there, then by the whole time going to have to go and look for new customers.
Absolutely. So it just makes sense. So,
yeah, it absolutely does. I like something that you said, like the process, or what was it that you said? You are the mystery shopper, right? So that mystery shopper, you can actually make that on the marketing side. You can run it as a campaign. You can give that person a discount, get a couple of mystery shoppers and tell them, be honest, because the communication is important, to be honest and to say, we're testing a new product, testing a new process. Here's a discount code. Come and test it. Be one of our guinea pigs and give us some feedback. And herewith, here's some discount for you as well if you want to test it with more people. Because then again, you involve them in your process and your growth. Therefore, they become more loyal. They feel they've got a say. So I like that. I really like that, the mystery shopper. So what advice would you give to businesses, Odette, that's looking to now audit their current customer journey? Because you've shared so much valuable information today. So now they need to audit and they need to look at their current customer journey. Where should they start? What should they do?
It really comes down to mapping the process. What does that mean? It means somewhere documenting step by step what you tell your customer to do. Your customer, not you, not your back-end process, not the things that you want to do, the things your customer actually does. And really the best way of doing that is to go and do it. And as you do it, write it down or get someone else to write it down so that you have an accurate perspective of what your customers go through. And once you've mapped all of it, you make sure that you include all the touch points. So if you have a website and people come through the website and you've got a telephone and you've got a brick and mortar store, or they can speak to a chatbot, all of those entry points culminate into a journey, but you have to test all of them, right? So you have to put down everything you ask your customer to do wherever you are. If you are on Instagram, you have to go on Instagram and message yourself to see what the process is like, to see how your team responds, right? And then once you've documented that and you understand all of the touch points, you go and you walk the process to make sure that you know what your customers feel. What is it like to be a real customer? And Dr. J, you mentioned it before, you look at the data. What data sources are available? So when I say data, I'm talking about customer feedback, which could be formal or informal. It's not just your customer that sends you a complaint and the email subject says complaint. It's when they say, I don't like this. This is unfair. You did not, those are all expressions of dissatisfaction. They didn't have to label a complaint for it to be a complaint. It's an expression of dissatisfaction. Equally, it could be them going on social media and saying, I just want to share that I just did this thing with so-and-so and it was just amazing. So that's feedback, right? It's not just a social post, it's feedback. It's got a positive sentiment. Look at your profit, your revenue, your customer lifetime value. For those of you who still know, it's the amount of over the entire time that they interact with your business. So there's a starting point, there's an end point. What is the lifetime value? And what percentage of your customers get to the lifetime value? Because customer experience isn't just about creating memorable experiences for your customers. It's about creating a sustainable business for you and for your team, so that there is a business that pays salaries and gives you an opportunity to do cool things. But it starts with your customer, because we earn the right to have loyal customers. Once you've identified all of that and you looked at everything, then you have to ask yourself, is this touch point delivering the experience that I want? So if you've gone through the website and your customer has to capture the information 3 or 4 times, is this what I want? If the answer is no, responsibility to go and you also want to ask yourself, am I meeting or exceeding expectations? And how can I do this better? A large portion of customer experience is just about proactively managing expectations, because it could be expensive to exceed expectations. It could be expensive to surprise and delight all the time. But actually, you know what? What most places don't do is just manage the expectation. Hey, Odette, thank you for your email. Someone will get back to you in 24 hours. Okay, cool. Now I don't need to phone you. No one does that. Well, not no one. Very few organizations do that. And then when they stay 24 hours, they don't actually keep their promise. And that's the other part of customer experience, keeping your promises. It really is as simple as that. It's that clear communication, making sure that you hold yourself accountable by communicating and then being consistent in your actions. And then, of course, once you've got that, you have to look for the opportunities to add value to your customer and to personalize their experience further beyond adding their name to an email.
Because that's what's going to make you stand out. If I think about customer loyalty, if I think about brand awareness, if I think about changing the purchasing decision, because now you've got them as a customer. They go, they become loyal, they become that brand evangelist. After loyalty comes the brand evangelist, where they are now marketing basically on your behalf, you know, and they become that brand evangelist through the marketing communication that they saw, the opinions of friends and family, or what I call the F factor, friends, family, their network. So the marketing communication that they saw, their friends, their family, their network, plus what you've sent them. And then their overall opinion over time. And that's what you said. And most of the people are forgiving. So there is room for improvement. There is room for mistakes. But the consistency is the important thing here. And with that, you can go from customer to a loyal customer to that brand evangelist, where they actually do the marketing for you and bring in that, build that long-term relationships. And I think you know as well, Odette, with the summit coming up, we're focusing a lot on the future. And when it comes to AI, what is AI going to be doing for the businesses? What is it going, how is it going to affect the businesses? How is our customer journey now going to be affected with AI? It's making stuff a lot easier for us. We are able to control it much more, but there's still a long road for us to go there. And we have to use, like you said, the data that we've got, the processes that we've got. You have to absolutely stay on top of your customer and the customer journey that they're going through, so that at the end of the day, where we're heading to with Web 3 is building that community, because that's where we want to get to. Yeah. We want to build this group of loyal customers, brand evangelists, in order to bring that community together of like-minded people. Why? Because then you're going to have continuous sales. So I just want to leave you with one more question today, Odette. You know, the summit is coming up and you're going to be speaking a lot about customer loyalty and the CX and user experience and all those kind of things. Don't you want to leave our listeners with one golden nugget and just tell them about the summit?
Well, as Dr. Jay said, the summit is around the corner. In fact, it's 35 days away. So there's not a lot of time for you to join us. You have to set it in your calendar and focus the time so that you can be there. The reason you want to be there is because we will dive into customer experience. What I've shared with you today has been a fire hydrant crash course into what is CX. And I promise you that you can take all the notes you took today and walk into your company and still be like, okay, but what now? Because that's how it is when we learn new things, right? So when you come to the summit, we are going to teach you about customer experience. We're going to talk about where are we going? How do we personalize? What does it mean to take the data and go and evaluate it so that you can extract insights? Because looking at a number and extracting insights from the number is two different skill sets. And then, of course, we have the beautiful Dr. J, who's going to be talking to us about globalization, about community, about Web3. You've heard her mention Web3. I probably, like in every podcast we've had her on, she mentions Web3. Do you know what it is? No, you don't. Okay. So then you have to come to the summit so that you can find out what it is. And then you can learn how to take these new skills and grow a sustainable business that sets you apart. Because when everyone else zigs, you need to learn to zag. You can't zag if you don't have the goods. The goods will be at the summit. Then, of course, leadership is the cornerstone of every successful endeavor. So we've got Christo, who's going to come share with us on leadership principles and how do you take this organization that now knows how to be human, knows how to take the tools and brand and marketing, how do we now get these people to work together so that we can move forward into the future, so that we can be relevant 10 years from now when there's robots walking around making your dinner for you. So really, the summit is an incredible opportunity to learn, to take time out of your office. And I know you're kind of going, well, that means I have to leave the office. Yes. Imagine if you don't and your competitors join us and they learn about Web3 and your customers go and join their community. Don't you think you're going to feel silly? So why don't you just prevent all of that from happening? Just come and join the summit. Be part of the community. Join like-minded individuals who all want to go into the future to create a sustainable business, but to also do it in a smart way. We honestly believe in working smart, and sometimes we work hard, but we generally work smart so that we don't have to work all that hard. That's the reality. That's why we have brains. That's why we have people like Dr. J who's telling us how to do things better. So if you're serious about moving ahead and staying ahead of the curve and building a sustainable customer-centric business, you do not want to miss the summit. Now, in all of that talking, I forgot to put the kicker on. So here is the kicker. If you need to get a ticket, then you can grab your ticket on the link on the screen. I will also be putting it in the show notes, and it will also be in the comment section of the podcast today. Thank you so much for joining us, Dr. J. Thank you so much for coming to chat with me about something that I am super duper excited and passionate about. And until next time, thank you all for joining us. And we will see you at the webinar. Take care.